the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, no, no. We will not bow down. We will not conform. And we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560, with your host, Ken Clark.
I'm just trying to figure out what to talk about today. Can't imagine what there might be to talk about today. Kind of a slow news day on this Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, okay, I'm kidding. There are things blowing up all over the place. It's kind of interesting to watch. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I listened to Randy's show this morning, and he was talking about a lot of things. And let me just give you a rundown of what's happening. Donald Trump announced that he's running for president. Oh, and by the way, welcome to Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. I will be taking calls in the first half hour, 303-477-5600. Donald Trump announced that he's running for president. Okay, moving on. last night about 8 p.m. on Facebook, Becky Mizell, who is the Pueblo County chairman of the Republican Party, put a post out there that basically said that Steve House was resigning from the chairman's position from the Colorado GOP. And then Randy, who does the wake-up show, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, posted that on Ogre Exposed and a couple other places. And that was posted in, Becky Mizell actually posted it in the Pueblo County Republican Party Facebook page, and just says, Pueblo County Republican Steve House has announced he is resigning as chairman of the state GOP for personal reasons. Randy then posted that on Ogre Exposed, and which is a closed group, and it stands for Old Guard Republican Establishment. That's quote-unquote Ogre. And it started a massive amount of back and forth on Facebook. And I posted on it once and just basically said that this is not a drill. And then I've just kind of been watching ever since. Since then, the Denver Post has, Lynn Bartles has put two different blogs out. And it's just been going back and forth. And let's just go ahead and talk about those. So basically, and then, well, there were a couple other people that posted as well, trying to dig into what really happened. And from the looks of things, there was a text message that was sent out that did, from Steve House to an elected official in the state of Colorado, that did say that he was going to resign. Then later that resignation or that was recanted, okay? And then Cynthia Kaufman did indicate that she did receive a message from Steve House that he was going to resign, et cetera, et cetera, and away we go. And so that's why Becky Mizell had put that out there. So then you've got an awful lot of stories going back and forth. You've got some liberal blogs that are picking up on this. The Lynn Bartles has been putting out a bunch of stuff on it. And it's kind of turned into this thing. And I don't really know whether or not Steve is going to be resigning or not at this point. He's got an article with blogs.denverpost.com written by Lynn Bartles earlier today that says Colorado GOP chair Steve House said he's not going anywhere. Steve House, who ran for governor in 2014, in March was elected chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. Steve House reiterated today that he is not going anywhere. There are rumors out there, quote, "There are rumors out there that I have officially resigned as chairman of the Colorado Republican Committee. Let me be clear, I am not only staying on as your chairman, but I'm doubling down on my efforts to lead U.S. victory in 2016 and beyond," he said in a statement released shortly after 11 a.m. So that was about 2 hours ago. Evidently, there's supposed to be another statement, but we'll see. And so then in an interview with Denver Post at 11 p.m. last night, Mizell said that House gave his resignation letter to a high state official, but the details had not been worked out. We found out later that was Cynthia Kaufman, our attorney general. The Republican Party issued the following statement around 12:15 a.m. Chairman House is still leading the Colorado Republican Committee and looks forward to leading it to victory in 2016. These false rumors are coming from the same people who continually trying to bring down their party for their own gain year after year. And I highly doubt that that is an accurate statement. I have some issues with that because these are some of the people that tried or that did, in fact, get him elected as the chair of the GOP. And so we were trying to get Ryan Call out, not to take down the party. Very different things altogether. So anyway, that's where we are with this thing. And then there's some liberal blogs out there that seem to, wow, I'll tell you what, I don't know where this is coming from, but this is, they just, these blogs, you know. And I guess because I'm going to be reading from this blog, I know it goes against my better judgment and other people's better judgment to name it. But because I'm going to be reading from it, I think I will. And this comes from Colorado Polls today. And I don't like talking about those guys. They just aren't always that, oh, I don't know, upfront with who they are when they call into radio shows like mine and attack me for things. And, you know, so anyway, I don't like mentioning their name, but I will in this time, in this particular instance. So supposedly this whole thing tries to boil it down that says this was a dispute because of Ted Harvey didn't get a job as the Republican state director for the GOP. And that Becky Mizell was somehow promised a job and that she didn't get a job. And so, and they're talking about Tyler Hart when she was in, hired to go into this thing. And so let me just read this to you. Harvey was one of the more vocal critics of the decision to hire Hart, which stems in part from rumors in March that Harvey was slated to become the full-time paid executive director of the state GOP. Harvey's pending appointment as ED was scuttled after news leaked out that House may have made a prior deal defeating Call to the state assembly on March 14. House subsequently went in a different direction, making up his new staff and bringing in Hart, a full-time $85,000 a year salary, did not sit well with Harvey and Mizell. Didn't help matters that House apparently hired Hart without the consent of the GOP executive committee. So they're trying to lay this whole thing off on that. And I have a feeling, well, it goes into more detail. It's talking about supposedly the meeting that took place yesterday between some folks and Steve House. And this is what it says. This is what it says on that. House was apparently fed up with the entire discussion at this point, and in a moment of anger and frustration, he essentially threw up his hands and walked away, metaphorically speaking. Mizell and other House opponents quickly took to Facebook and other forms of social media last night, claiming that House had officially resigned, hoping to build enough momentum to convince House to concede once and for all. House did not officially resign, however, and eventually regained his composure enough to start pushing back against the rumor mongering. Okay, that should get you caught up to speed, but it does say this. The hiring of Hart convinced Harvey and Mizell to get more aggressive in their efforts to force House to make a change, and this is where things really started to get weird. Harvey and Mizell hatched a plan to convince House to resign, whereby Mizell would become the new state party chair and Harvey would be top salaried executive director. When House refused to bend to more traditional forms of lobbying, Harvey and Mizell resorted to what can really only be described as extortion. Huh. Okay. Why do I have a feeling that Colorado Polls is going to end up with egg on their face on this one? I really do. And I mean, to break it down into those simplistic of terms, I just don't think is genuine. And we're going to have to wait and see what happens when there is an official press release coming from the Colorado State GOP. This is just all stuff that's on Facebook. This is on Denver Post. This is on the liberal blogs as well. And so, I mean, this anybody can go find this. I'm not speaking out of school on this, but I just have a feeling that if you break it down into those basic of terms, I know Ted Harvey personally. I know Becky Mizell personally. Neither one of them are that petty. They're just not. They have impeccable and just impeccable character. Both of them do. And the idea that they would do this because of a jilt over a job, in my mind, is, I'm not going to hold water. I have a feeling there's a lot more to come. Again, if you'd like to chime in, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back. And I'm back. This is Freedom 560. I'm your host, Ken Clark, and I am talking about some of the controversy that's going on within the Colorado GOP right now. And it's very interesting. I've been following this Facebook stuff, and it's gotten pretty ugly. And I think, you know, we're going to find out what's really going on down there, and we're going to know exactly what the story is in due time. I think there's a lot of things yet to come out. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to be going to the Liberty Libations tonight, and I know Steve House is scheduled to be addressing that group. And so I would suggest that if you want to figure out what's going on here directly from him, you can do that tonight right there. And from what I understand, I don't know, this is just based on what I'm seeing on the internet, there's going to be yet another there's going to be another press release, or maybe the first press release, coming from the Colorado GOP, and House will... he will address this directly. So we'll see what happens. And for those of you that are trying to call me on the phone, I am on the air right now. So I will return your calls after I'm done doing the radio show today. But it's funny. It's interesting what's going on. But the phone number, if you'd like to chime in, is 303-477-5600. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of that. And I think, you know, we just have to ride this out, wait and see what happens. And wait and see what the facts of the matter are. But I do know Ted Harvey. I do know Becky Mazzell. And the idea that they would be as petty as to stoop to something like this over a jilt, over a job, I think is laughable. And so I don't know who's feeding that to the liberal blogs out there. But I have a feeling they're going to end up not being real happy. I just have that feeling. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, you've got to wonder and question why. And this is, I'm just going to throw this out here as a question. Why would some of those folks that work so hard to get the current chairman elected be asking for or be in a situation where, you know, he's sending them text messages? At one moment saying he's going to resign, the next moment saying he's not. You know, there's got to be a lot more to this story. I have a feeling that we're going to figure it out, though. And we'll see what happens at the end of the day. If anybody would like to comment on that, 303-477-5600, and we'll see what happens next. In the meantime, there are a lot of other things happening. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because there really isn't a whole lot of new stuff going on since... what happened on Randy's show. I mean, I already talked about the idea that Cynthia Kaufman did state on, Lynn Bartles actually posted this on her blog, that she did receive the text message. So we know where that came from. And I mean, the rest of it's all over Facebook. So until I get more statements from the party itself or from some of the people directly involved, there isn't a whole heck of a lot more to talk about. And but this story isn't going away. It looks like it's getting a bunch of legs, and away we go. And so Donald Trump did announce that he was running for president today, and that's good news because, after all, we do need more people in the presidential race. And I understand that Lana is going to be addressing the Littleton Tea Party tonight. I understand she's going to be announcing that she's running for president. Lana Four is. I've already announced that I'm running for president because, after all, I want the money. And my campaign slogan is, I promise you this, that, and the other thing, and just send me checks. Personally, I will take them. You can send them to the studio. I don't plan on starting up an exploratory committee. I'm not going to go that route. I'm also not going to file in any state, anywhere. I'm just going to be a write-in candidate in all 50 states. And my platform is going to be pretty much Freedom 560. That's it. So there you have it. Am I kidding? Of course I'm kidding. But, you know, why not? Everybody else is running for president. Why not just do that? I mean, God. And I watched Donald Trump's his announcement on Fox News today. And I got to tell you, it seemed to be straight out of the Tea Party platform. There was another one that agreed with me today. And that was the headline in his blog. I can't remember where he put that. I think I saw it in Breitbart. I'm not sure. But that, and he was. He was talking about the debt. He was talking about ISIS. He was talking about all these issues that we have with our federal government and the fact that the politicians don't seem to want to address them. So he's right about that. Whether or not he gets legs, I don't know. He definitely has the money. He's got an $8.7 billion net worth. So he definitely has the money to throw at this thing. It is going to be $1 billion per candidate presidential run. I know that Hillary's already got that much, that she has extorted from foreign countries. So that's going to be interesting. And we're going to have to wait and see how that shapes up. Now, one thing that I did want to talk about, there are two things, actually. The John Boehner, Mitch McConnell aren't going to let the TPP go away. Okay, I'm going to be bouncing around a lot of subjects during this segment simply because I've got guests coming on at 1:30. It's Father's Day coming up. We've got a scheduled guest who's got a new book coming out, so I want to hit that. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to be celebrating the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. I believe it's the 800th. With Professor Robert Nadelson, who has studied this, and he just came back from a historical trip overseas where they were talking about it. He went to a seminar on this thing, a celebration, if you will. So we're going to give that an awful lot of airtime because the Magna Carta did have an awful lot to do with the reason the framers did our Constitution the way they did. And it was the first liberty document ever drafted, and then the Constitution was the most famous. So there you have it. But Pope Francis, I mean, I don't know why this guy's getting involved in this thing, but he has decided that the destruction of the Earth ecosystem is going to be caused by global warming. And this is in theguardian.com. He's got an article out there. Also, he warns, and this you can go to independent.co.uk, independent.co.uk. Pope urges changes to avoid unprecedented damage from climate change in leak ecocyclical document. What is the Pope doing? I thought he was the head of the Catholic Church. I didn't know he was an environmental wacko. And if that offends some of you Catholics out there, maybe you ought to be trying to figure out what it is your church is doing. Because this isn't it. He has jumped on the bandwagon of a global facade, a global fraud, and a global lie. I mean, it's unreal. Then you've got another one, time.com, Pope Francis, climate change, encyclical leaked 4 days early by Italian magazine. It's a 192-page document, Pope Francis' first major teaching letter on climate change and its effects on the planet's poor. Really? You start to invoke the issues or the policies behind global warming and that socialist agenda, that green agenda, and you will destroy the world's poor. They will become poor. You're going to see mass famine. You're going to see death and destruction unlike anything you've ever witnessed in your life. Why? Because you will not provide a fossil fuel infrastructure to the poorest countries on the planet. Without that fossil fuel infrastructure, these people will not be able to feed themselves. They won't. You think solar and wind are going to power a combine when it comes to farming food? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm really disappointed in seeing this. I'm very disappointed in seeing this. Now, there are an awful lot of issues that are going on in the world today. These are just a couple of them. But I wanted to touch on what's going on in the Colorado GOP. Wanted to touch on what's going on with Pope Francis. Wanted to touch on Donald Trump. So I think I have done that pretty well. And we're going to be moving on and hitting a bunch of other things. But I also wanted to mention that on this Friday, I'm going to have the Strident Conservative filling in for me because I'm going to be talking at the CRBC, the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, which is Friday, June 19th, 11:30 to 1 p.m. Brooklyn's at the Pepsi Center, so I won't be able to make it back to the studio in time to do the show. So David Leach, the Strident Conservative, has agreed to do my show for me on Friday. But I'm going to be talking about Initiative 20. It is a business killer, and I'm going to be addressing that group. And evidently, the people that are behind Colorado Care, the Colorado Care folks, they are out in force. They are gathering signatures. They're talking about this. They're lying to people when they do gather the signatures, because remember, we talked about this. They try to tell people that you can opt out. I've read this thing four times. You cannot opt out. But it's coming. They're back at it. It is a single-payer healthcare program. I'm going to be laying it all out, the good, the bad, and the ugly on this thing, because frankly, there is no good. It's just the bad, the worse, and the ugly on this one. But that'll be Friday, June 19th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Brooklyn's at the Pepsi Center. And yeah, I'm going to be laying out everything there is to know about Initiative 20. You don't want to miss it. And so you can have lunch for $20. Do a lot of networking with a lot of different business clients. It ought to be an awful lot of fun. So when we come back, we are going to talk about an author. We're going to talk to an author, rather, and Jonathan Last, and he's going to be joining us about his new book. We are back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. We are awaiting Jonathan V. Last to join us on the air. He's got a brand new book out, and it's something kind of interesting. And Father's Day is coming up on Sunday, so it's, does being a dad come with a how-to manual? We're going to talk about that, because, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, simply because Father's Day is coming up. We've got guests back-to-back the rest of the week, and this was pretty much the only time we could talk to him. And so that, I'm looking forward to that. And so we'll get him on as soon as we can track him down. His phone looks, sounds to me like he is on the air with somebody, or excuse me, on the phone with somebody else. But let's, I wanted to get back to this thing with Pope Francis, because, you know, the idea that the head of the Catholic Church, I thought that the Catholic Church, now correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not Catholic, and I don't know a whole lot about it. You know, I've been to a couple Catholic weddings and things of that nature. I have been inside Catholic churches. I've been to a Catholic mass, but I'm not Catholic, and I don't pretend to know about the religion. I have a very good friend who is Catholic, and he and I get into these terrific discussions about religion as a whole, because he is very Catholic, and I'm not. I would consider myself more of a Baptist, I suppose. And, you know, and they, every church, every religion has a different way of going after it. And so he and I get into some really, really fun discussions, because he knows a lot about it. I read the Bible as often as I possibly can, and we get into some terrific discussions. And they're fun. They're fun. And because it's, you know, it's not who believes more, who's right. It's the difference in philosophy and, you know, going back 6,000 years and going back to the disciples themselves and, you know, that kind of thing. And those are fun conversations to have. I really enjoy that. And you always learn something when you're having a conversation like that with somebody who's willing to do it in a respectful manner and not just say, you're a heretic, you know. And fortunately, that doesn't happen. Because they're very respectful. But you got to ask yourself this question. Why is the Pope jumping on the bandwagon with global warming? Is this guy a fascist? Is this guy a socialist? I mean, what is he doing? The environmental movement is its own religion. It has every earmark of being its own religion. So, you know, I mean, it's obviously based on faith, because there is no real factual data that talks about global warming. I mean, it's been disproved over and over again. And religion in and of itself, when you're talking about God, that is faith. And so, you know, you kind of have to compare the two and go, okay, they're both religions, right? And inherently, religion is defined by faith. Well, global warming is defined by faith, because there is no factual data. So it makes you wonder why he's jumping on board with this. What is his agenda? Why is he not leading his masses to get closer to God? Why is he trying to scare them about this lie called global warming? It doesn't make any sense to me. And again, I'm not trying to disparage the Catholic religion in any way, shape, or form. All I'm trying to do is ask, why is Pope Francis jumping on this? I mean, when he warns of unprecedented damage from climate change, when there is no proof to back that up, it's all a bunch of bunk, you've got to start asking these questions. Okay, he rails against economic powers and global financial system, but condemns the early release of the document. I haven't read the document. I don't know what it says. I can just tell you what's in these articles. And, you know, climate change is a problem with serious implications for the global environment, social, economic distribution systems and policies, and constitutes one of the main current challenges for humanity. Wow, that falls right in line with Barack Obama and John Kerry trying to solve the ills that we have with ISIS, because if we could simply solve the climate problem, the climate change problem, ISIS terrorists would love us. That is our national defense. Wow. Makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder what's truly going on out there. And I'm sorry, but, you know, you just can't, you cannot make this stuff up. You combine that with the EPA and you combine that with some of the things that are happening here in Colorado. We have to pass bills in order for people to collect rainwater on their own property because somewhere, somehow, somebody has claimed ownership to the rain and the snow runoff. This is backwards and upside down. It is backwards and upside down. There is absolutely no common sense in politics anymore. There is no common sense in the environmental movement. But if you take a look at if you drill down deep into the environmental movement, you know exactly what it is they're trying to do. And ultimately, it is this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They are after a zero human footprint on the planet. That's what they want. The only real way to do that is to make sure that there are no humans on the planet. Sometimes it makes me wonder if that's ultimately their goal. I don't know that, but I've heard people and I've had conversations with people who just say, wow, I've got my 10 acres of ground and I've got my house. But you know what? There's too many people on the planet, and we need to make sure that there's no population growth anywhere on the entire planet. Well, you sit there and look at the hypocrisy of somebody like that because you're going, okay, you've got your 10-acre spread, you've got your own gardens, you've got your own thing, but nobody else should be allowed to have that? Believe me, the world is big enough to feed the entire population the way it stands right now. We could have enough food. The United States alone could feed the entire planet if you could just get rid of government bureaucracy. Now, they killed California and the farmlands out there. They've effectively done a very good job killing that. And I think that goes to further their agenda of zero human footprint. The price of produce is going to go through the roof this summer. And I think we've already started to see that. We've already got another surge coming across the border as far as illegals are concerned. But, I mean, I just don't get. I don't know what that had to do with anything either, so just scratching my head. But I just don't get why the Pope has chosen this for his battle. Why doesn't he become more evangelical and try to bring more people into the Catholic Church? I thought that was what the Pope was supposed to do. The idea that the Pope would get into the global warming agenda makes no sense to me at all. It makes absolutely no sense. Then you combine that with the idea that these people that did destroy the farmlands in California are now moving into Colorado, and I'm talking about the Wild Earth Guardians. They're making their move here. It's all part of the same agenda. So is the Pope, I guess, aligning himself with the Wild Earth Guardians? Is that what he's doing? I don't know. I'm asking these questions. If you're Catholic, somebody please explain this to me because it doesn't make any sense. And again, let me be clear. I am not trying to disparage the Catholic Church. I am trying to figure out why the Pope is jumping on board the climate change global warming bandwagon. It doesn't make sense. They're competing ideologies. You either worship the earth or you worship God. I don't know people that can worship both, but if you take a look at the climate change people, the global warming fanatics, that is their religion. We've talked about that ad nauseum. We've talked about it in detail. And, you know, I mean, that's basically what it is. And so it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure there's going to be more on this because this is just breaking today and it's all over the place. The New York Times has got articles out of it. Well, the New York Times has the article about a thirsty Colorado battling over who owns raindrops because common sense has gone bye-bye when it comes to politics, especially with the EPA and now, I guess, the Catholic Church. Well, I'm not going to say the Catholic Church as a whole because I do know a lot of Catholics. They're good people, and they don't buy into this. Most Catholics that I know are pro-life. They're anti-government. They're anti-regulation. They like the same things that I like. But when you've got the leader of the Catholic Church talking about socialist ideas, kind of makes you wonder where they're headed. Maybe we saw this coming. Maybe it's been a trend. Maybe this just is a blip on the radar screen. Maybe it'll go back the other direction. Maybe the Pope will start deciding that he needs to be the religious leader of his people instead of the global warming alarmist leader of his people. We'll see what happens in the coming days. I think that'll be interesting to see how that breaks out. Again, don't forget, at 1 o'clock, I am going to have Rob Nadelson on the air with me, and we're going to be talking about the Magna Carta. I'm really excited about that segment, because if you take a look at the history and the writings of our founders, they talk a lot about that, and they reference it a lot. And I think it's important to the discussion of the Constitution to figure out what went on with that, why it was written, who it protected, because it really did protect a grand scheme of people, peasants, the lords, the king. I mean, it forced the king to basically forced him to grant freedom of production, freedom to own your own land. Every home is his castle type stuff. But it granted that to the peasants as well. And so I think it was a historic document that has lived on for 800 years. And I think it had a lot to do with our Constitution, too. So we're going to dive into that in detail when at 2 o'clock with Professor Rob Nadelson. And so, yeah, we are trying to figure out all these things that have been going on with everything and everything with the GOP and the Pope. I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting day. There's an awful lot going on out there. I'm going to try to hit as many of these topics as I possibly can, and I do have another segment left to do that. So when we come back after the break, there's another one in particular that I wanted to talk about, because we've got the TPP isn't going away. We have got 121 murders attributed to illegals that were released by the Obama administration. I mean, Para is in big trouble as well. I mean, Walker Stapleton's been talking about that. It's one of those news days. I was only joking when I started off the program. What is there to talk about right now? I guess I'm struggling with what not to talk about. There are so many topics that I want to hit. I wasn't on the air yesterday. I had some business to attend to in Cheyenne. And I got to tell you, that was not fun, I can assure you. And but anyway, I'm not going to go into detail on that. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to hit some of these topics, among others. And I'm open for your calls, 303-477-5600. And I'm back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. It is good to be back behind the microphone today. Yesterday, I had some business I needed to attend to, so I was off. And then Friday of this week, I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to have David Leach filling in for me. I'm going to be speaking at the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, their monthly meeting, and that's going to be from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Brooklands at the Pepsi Center. It's 941 Auraria Parkway in Denver, and I'm going to be addressing Initiative 20. Initiative 20 is a single-payer program that has the It is a single-payer program that's going to be implemented in the state of Colorado. Well, it's a ballot initiative with the attempt to implement it, meaning it'll be part of our state constitution that pretty much guarantees health care for all. And these guys, the ColoradoCare.co, these guys have been running around telling everybody that you have a right to life, liberty, and health care. Sorry, but that is not in the Declaration of Independence. It is not in the Constitution. And the only way that you can implement such a right is to make other people slaves. Because this is not something that can be just provided or you can provide to yourself. You can't. You have to require the goods and services of other people. So therefore, if it's a right, that means those goods and services of other people, you have to enslave them. End of story. You do. And let's not forget about the idea that Senator Aguilera had floated this same idea back in 2013 legislative session. And remember, the 2013 legislative session was the most aggressive, progressive, I hate that word, destructive legislative session in my memory in Colorado. They passed everything. And the destruction to the state, we are still just now starting to feel the effects of it. It was a mess. This was one of those bills that was so over the top, even with that legislative session, that they couldn't even get it out of committee. Senator Aguilar had to pull that from committee because it had a $37 billion a year price tag. This one, you know, there's going to have to be a fiscal note on it because they did pass legislation that that states you have to have a fiscal note on any ballot initiative that you put forth, whether it's fracking, whether it's this single-payer monstrosity. So it's going to be out there in black and white. I have a feeling it's going to be drastically underestimated. They're claiming now that it's going to be around $25 billion. I think that's about half of what it'll ultimately be. Because remember Senate Bill 200 that gave us Connect for Health, the healthcare exchange here in the state of Colorado. That was only supposed to be paid for by the fees of the people that were involved, and it wasn't supposed to cost all that much money. Now we're over $200 million. So we're just going to scrap that whole program. We've just burned $200 million in the state of Colorado. No big deal. Let's scrap that, and let's put in place a $25 to $50 billion program instead. And we're just going to tax everybody. Everybody. Because after all, you have a right to free healthcare. Oh, except if you're a working class individual, then you have the right to pay for everybody else's healthcare because they have a right to free healthcare and you have a right, or excuse me, you have an indentured servitude obligation to pay for it. Yeah, so you have the people that are the dependent class, slaves to the state. Then you have the indentured servitude class, which are the rest of us that pay taxes. And we're all slaves to the state, unfortunately. That's what we are. But when you promise people free stuff, they're going to vote to stick it to the rich, which is exactly what's happening in this situation. So join me on Friday. I'm going to go into detail on this thing. And I've done it before on Freedom 560. I'm not going to do it now. But join me on Friday. It'll be a lot of fun, and you can do some networking with some great business people, business partners, and it's $25 for non-members, $20 for members, $10 if you're a student, so that'll be kind of cool. I'm looking forward to that. Those are a good bunch of people. So I had alluded to this story earlier, and Senator Jeff Sessions seems to be out there everywhere, and he's one of those people that are standing up when no one else will. Typically, you see the Ted Cruz's, the Mike Lee's, the Rand Paul's. Senator Jeff Sessions does it quite a bit. But right now, he's asking for questions, and it has to do with this. Why were 121 illegal immigrants, in order to avoid deportation, they were released back into society, and now they're wanted, and or excuse me, now they're all being charged with murder? That's a lot of people that have been killed for Obama's immigration policies, don't you think? Don't you think that blood lands squarely on the shoulders of Barack Hussein Obama and his immigration policies? There are people that are dead right now because this man will not enforce our existing immigration law. His job as chief executive officer is not to change the law, but to enforce the law. That's his job. But we've known for the last 6.5 years that he does that selectively. Eric Holder, John Kerry, they all do his bidding. Now Loretta Lynch, she's going to be doing his bidding. But I mean, this will infuriate you. U.S. Immigration Customs and Enforcement reports that 121 convicted criminals who were never removed from the country face murder charges today. Well, you can't have a murder charge unless somebody was murdered. There's no such thing as this isn't attempted murder. These are people that have been killed. So why are these people being released back into our society? We have no idea who they are. This immigration problem is a mess, and it's getting worse. And all of us are at risk as a result. These are criminals. It doesn't matter what country they're from. It doesn't matter if they're Americans. But if they were Americans, they wouldn't have been released back into society. No, if they're here from a different country, they get treated completely differently, and they're released back into society. Murders are murders. Criminals are criminals. It doesn't matter where they're from. We don't want them here. I don't really want our taxpayer dollars to be paying for their stay in Club Fed either. Donald Trump was talking about that today, and he said, I'm going to build a great wall between the United States and Mexico. And quite frankly, you don't need a great wall to solve our immigration problem. You just don't. I've been down there. I've seen it. I do know what I'm talking about. But this is what he said. And he said, I'm going to build a great wall, and then I'm going to make Mexico pay for it, I can assure you. Thought that was very interesting. And I like that idea. I don't know how he's going to do that. But I also don't like the idea of just this massive Great Wall of the United States, 1,700 miles long, along our southernmost border. You don't need to do that. With technology and National Guardsmen, Border Patrol agents, you can secure the border and not violate those people who live on the border, not violate their property rights. You can do both. You can. I've seen it. I know that Rick Perry did it. He was very effective. Now the current governor of Texas is furthering Rick Perry's program when he was calling up the National Guard and stopping that border mess. He's doing it too. And it's effective. It's working. They were having a tremendous amount of success shutting down the drug cartels, the human trafficking. And that is the biggest tragedy of this whole story. And it really bothers me that nobody in the mainstream press will talk about it. But the slave trade, the human trafficking, it is alive and well today. And it's happening in the United States. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And it's on our own border. And nobody wants to do anything about it. Why? Because the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is not interested. And that's why that's one of the reasons the TPP bill was so bad, because it gave our immigration enforcement over, well, not the enforcement, but it basically turned over our immigration laws, made them subordinate to international immigration law. That's a bad move. That is a very, very bad move. But that's what it did. And so you've got John Boehner, Mitch McConnell. They're working with Obama frantically behind the scenes, trying to figure out how to resurrect the Free Trade Act, the Free Trade Agreement. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. Whose side are these people on? Evidently, they're not on the side of the we the people. They're simply on the side of where our checkbook comes, or who's writing them the big checks. And I hate to admit it, but it is my suspicion, and I don't know the truth. But I think that's why Ted Cruz voted for it as well. He knew that if he's going to run for president, he needed the big dollars. He needed the big dollars. And that's why he sold us out on that particular issue. It's the only thing I can think of. It's all about dollars. It's all about running for president. And they justify it in their own mind, saying, well, if I don't get elected, I can't do all these good things. But if you sell your soul for a campaign contribution, you still can't do all these good things, because then you're going to be beholden to those people that you made promises to for those big campaign checks, right? Makes sense to me. I mean, that's kind of the long and short of it. I was kind of impressed with Donald Trump's speech today. I mean, it's going to be curious to see how this whole thing shakes out. When we come back, Professor Robert Nadelson and the Magna Carta.